Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Great. Good morning.
Okay. For our listening audience, over the past several weeks, we've been journeying through our men's group, studying Henry Nouwen's book. What does he call it? The Return of the Prodigal Son. Interesting enough, Henry sets that book up to cover three sections. The first section has to do with the younger son. The second section has to do with the older brother. And then the third section has to do with looking at the father. Today, as we've been journeying through the study, we wanted to focus in on the elder brother. So the scripture text we're going to use comes from that parable in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 25 through 32. Someone like to read that for me?
Sure.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
All right. Thank you. Okay. The elder brother. Having heard this scripture read, what jumps out at you?
I just want to say for me, I've always thought, and I think the majority of people might feel the same way when they hear or think of the prodigal son. You just think of like the younger son, the son returning. But there's a painting of Rembrandt, probably more than one, but the one on the book, Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen, the center of the portrait is like an empty space. And so it got me thinking as we read the book more, and the empty space represents the empty space between the elder son as well. Like when the younger son came home, and then the elder son, you know, was like, "What's going on?" And then, you know, "They're having a celebration. We want you to come in," you know, and he was saying how basically he was kind of resentful in the words to his father. It showed like his bitterness, resentfulness, jealousy, envy. And those things, you know, have no part in the kingdom of heaven. And it just shows that, to me, that whether you're the younger son or the elder, so whether you're in a faraway land and you come back, or you're right at home the whole time, you can still be disconnected from God. And so it doesn't really matter if you were the younger son or the elder son. They both were disconnected from God. And in fact, that the elder son came home, I would say that he's actually more connected to God than the elder son was, because he's still disconnected by God by saying those words.
Yeah, so maybe to see if we can help get the image for the listening audience. Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, really is predicated on Henry's experience of viewing Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal sons, right, when he was in Russia. And in that painting, if we were to view that to the lower left of the painting, we would see the father with a red cape kind of kneeling down a little bit as the younger son has returned home, and so the father's kind of embracing him. The younger son is in beat-up clothes. He's missing a shoe, things of that nature. You can tell he's had a rough ride in the far country. But he's come home because he's hungry. About in the painting, if you maybe about 3 feet, right, to the right of the father is the elder son standing, pretty stern look on his face. His arms are crossed. He too is dressed in a red cloak, very similar to his father's. And I think what Mark's trying to relate to our listening audience is that 3 feet is, even though it may only be 3 feet, is still enough space of disconnect with the father. So whether we're hundreds of miles away in a far country or we're 3 feet, even in our home, we can still not be at home. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think more people could relate to the elder son, because I think everybody's got some sort of, well, I guess not everybody, but as far as relate to the elder son, they have a bitterness and jealousy and envy and things like that inside of you. And those are things that will kill you, you know.
I think it is very natural to want to align with an individual character in the story, when I think more so, it's important to see the big picture in that, and that metamorphosis between we are all three at the same time, and our goal is to kind of move, have a trajectory in that, and have it kind of through this love that God lavishes on us, whether we're in the far country or we've kind of already been accepting it as the older brother. It's a cognizance thing, and I think a gratitude thing we see so much, because what's the core of the older brother's issue? He already has it. He's doing what he should do, but he's not very nice about it. He's not very grateful about it, is he? The younger son is busted and beat, hasn't been following the rules, but he's nothing but grateful. It's an interesting concept of how God views our reciprocity of love, you know, because at the end of the day, he's just a father that loves both of us and loves nothing but to give it to us. So it's just it's a very cool, self-determining kind of story of where you are, where you find yourself, who you align with. But I think Henry does, at the end of the day, teach us that that's a process, because we are all three of those. Interesting Trinitarian concept there, too. Yeah.
I think the bottom line is the father loved both of them, probably in their individual own way, you know. I'm saying by him, the elder son, obviously with his hands on his shoulders or his back, he's welcoming, he's forgiving him. And the elder son too, I think he wanted him to come in when he went to the field, tried to get, all I have is yours and your brother's return, now come join us. I think he's trying to get him to come home too, in a sense.
Yes, very much so. They're both distant in their own individual way.
Yeah. I think it's the older son, if I'm looking at, because I think we all have a little bit of everybody in us, you know. But I think if we're going to look at it as an older son, I think in the scripture and stuff, the older son's crying out. Like, I'm in pain. I'm hurting too. I feel alone in my own home. I feel lost because you're so worried. The father, you're so worried about the younger son being, that I feel like you've forgotten me in some ways. And I think we do that. We have times we feel that because we see how, especially if you're someone that lives in a family, you know, you have a lot of, you know, siblings or something like that, or you live in that connection, you'll see at times one of your siblings get more attention. Their needs get taken over yours, but that's because you might not have talked about it. You might not have brought that out, and so life becomes unfair. And then we get very bitter, and that lives on with us to the point where in today's society, it becomes unfair. I work so hard for my money. I work so hard for my possessions. It's so unfair that people just give the homeless money, or give the homeless, you know, all this stuff, and they give them free food, and you know, they get free insurance, and like, we get bitter about the need to help the most vulnerable in our community sometimes. And I think that stems back from our life and our childhood of us feeling lost in our own world, that we never really knew how to deal with those issues.
I like that you said that, because in this book I was reading, Henry Nouwen says what he said about the elder brother must feel really hurt inside. And that's what he's, so it's interesting, he just recognized that, because he probably read the book and he said that. So he got that from just hearing his talk. Henry Nouwen, I agree with you.
And that's consistent. When we do feel wounded, when we do feel hurt, usually our primary emotional response to that is anger. Well, the scripture mentions that. Resentful. Well, you know, if I have certain expectations and I see myself and it's unfair, that doesn't work. Right? These are emotional responses to feeling hurt, but it's also we have these expectations. If I'm doing everything right, how's come I don't get? Well, there's jealousy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm envious that. But it is about the Father, right? So whether we see the elder brother in ourselves, where we're bitter, resentful, anger, jealous, whatever, or maybe particularly those of us here at Neighbors of Hope, you know, we've gone off to the far country and we've engaged in our hedonism, right? We've satiated our pleasure, or attempted to, and come back home simply because we're exhausted, we're out of money, I got no other place to go. You know, it's not that I'm really coming home to honor the Father. So both of them need the Father to be the catalyst towards their reconciliation and their wholeness, right? Which we'll see when we get to the third part with Henry. Is that as sons, eventually we need to grow up and become like the Father. But I think as people striving to be more like Jesus, we have to be open and honest that there are times where we seek pleasure, and there are times where we actually seek and implement our own angers, our own legalism, our own bitterness, our own resentment. That's not fair. Yeah, well, part of our discipleship, you know, is keeping that self in check and becoming more like the Father.
Amen. Yeah. And I like to remember that as we go through life and try to rebuild and reclaim relationships, that relationships are complex. It isn't just me and that other person, you know, me and a parent, me and a child or whatever. There are other people involved. There's always that third person. So just in this case, the relationships between others, there's always that third person that's being impacted, and we have to remember that as we try to rebuild relationships. It's just complex.
All right, any closing thoughts? Well, thank you, gentlemen, for sharing with our listening audience in this edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our Women's and Children's Ministry Center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.